The first and best victory is to conquer self. Welcome to the Conqueror Approach, a journey of self-mastery. To cultivate our mind, body, spirit, financial literacy, and allow our light to shine upon the world. Brought to you by me, your host, U.S. Navy submarine veteran and entrepreneur, Musa Mikel. Let's conquer. Thank you, Corey Adams, the noble savage, for joining me. Let's get into it. Please introduce yourself, a little bit about who Corey Adams, the noble savage, is.
All right. Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for having me, Musa. I appreciate you. And, you know, brother, it's always great conversations with you and I. My name's Corey Adams. I go by Noble the Savage or Noble Savage. You can find me on some of the platforms by the said name. Basically, I'm just a guy from the upper Midwest. You know, it's been a ride. It's been an experience. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. One day I just realized that I had to do something more and went off to the Marine Corps. Went and joined the circus, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And
damn right.
Did that for 17 years, did early retirement there. I was in the air wing. I did a bunch of deployments and had a fantastic time seeing the world. Little kid from Wisconsin, traveling the globe. It was some great experiences, life lessons that happened while I was bouncing around. Then I retired from there, came out to Vegas, became a licensed financial advisor, dabbled in that for 6 years, and then threw my hat into the real estate ring and been doing that for a year, and you know, transitioning back into a little bit of both now, because that's where the education happens. The reasons why I do this stuff is to educate and to help. I learned about finance. I learned about how money works because nowhere else are we taught it. So I want to be able to continue to be of service to anybody I come in contact with. And same thing with real estate. I didn't know how real estate worked. I learned about it and I help people understand that more.
Right on, man. Thank
you. That's what it's all about.
And you spent quite some time in the Marines. That must have been quite an experience, man. Let's talk a little bit about how that was, because you spent a lot of years.
You
probably had some good experiences overseas and whatnot. How was that overall journey for you being in the military? Because I know people not in the military don't really understand. They think you're just a robot.
Just a robot. A brainwashed soldier.
Pretty
out
much.
There.
And then, yeah. I wasn't in the Marines, so I don't really know how the Marines, that journey must have been, especially, you know, that long ago. How was all that for you, man?
Well, it gave me time. So it was fantastic, by the way. It was fantastic. And you know how that goes when you're, the hard times are, when you look back on them, can be good times. And going through those struggles during those hard times, making me who I am and appreciate all my good times more, and even, you know, all the friendships that I had. So I first went to the Marine Corps back in 1997. I was 22 years old. I needed to jumpstart some things in my world, and decided to do that because it was the hardest one. It looked like it was the hardest one. Everyone said, don't go to the Marine Corps. And I'm like, well, if you're telling me not to go, that's probably where I need to be then. And so I ended up going to Marine Corps and having a good time. Went to MCRD San Diego, Hollywood Marine, as they say, and enjoyed my time there. I called it summer camp because I went June, July, August. It's 3 months of training, but it was the best summer camp I ever had. It was I learned a whole lot about myself there. From there, I went to school in Pensacola, Florida, and then to Whidbey Island, Washington, and then finally got stationed in Cherry Point, North Carolina. Shortly after I got to my first duty station, Miles 14, I went to, my first deployment was Aviano, Italy. And this was right during the Kosovo protests and the airstrikes were going on, the Kosovo airstrikes were getting ready to happen, that conflict. And there were protests in town for a gondola accident that happened with my airframe. So one thing that I learned while I was there, my very first deployment, was that, you know, there is civil unrest in all places. It was weird to go to work, and I always thought that everyone was happy to see the military, but they weren't. They were not happy to see us in Italy at that time. And there were protests and we couldn't go places, and there was dangers of rioting and all the things. And it's a crazy world out there. But what it gave me again was just that experience to see how the rest of the world works, to see past of, you know, how our cities do things. Like the cops out there, the Carabinieri, they carry automatic weapons like on the side of the street, and they don't have like, they're not jumping in front of you. They got these little paddles and they'll show you a color. If it's red, you need to pull over. Otherwise they can shoot you with these automatic weapons. That's not what we complain about cops. They're on something totally different there. But those experiences, like I said, they allowed me to come back with new eyes and appreciate the things that I have, and also see the things that I need to work on.
That's awesome, man. How important was it for you, for your personal experience, getting out of your comfort zone growing up in Milwaukee and just doing something different, just getting out of there, getting out of your comfort zone, join the military in general? Obviously people can go to college, move, do whatever they want, but how would it have been like if you didn't make that decision and you stayed in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I had to make a big move. You know, I grew up in a place to where it was all about the statistics. It was that cliche statistics that, you know, young black man, I was either going to be dead or in jail by 21. It was more likely for me to do that than to go to college. And I had, that was my goal. I remember, you know, being 16, 17, 18 years old, somewhere in there. And I was like, if I live to be 21, I'll change my life. I said, if I make it to 21, I'm going to change everything. And if I wouldn't have, well, once I turned 21, that's when I decided I was going to the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have gotten out of the city and made such a big change, I don't believe I would be here today. Or I definitely wouldn't be, my world wouldn't be what it is today. So it's very important to get outside your comfort zone, because otherwise you don't grow. And otherwise we stay stagnant and we don't rise to those occasions of the challenges. Vital, be it college, be it military, be it just taking a job in a different city or state, just to vet out yourself is super important to put us in those hard situations, right?
Absolutely. And you can't even imagine what, I can't even imagine what it would be like being on deployment during the Kosovo conflicts. Like that's like another level of getting out of comfort zone, you know, being sent to places like that. So I appreciate you. I'm glad you did that for yourself and for everybody, and serving everybody that you had the opportunity to serve, man. How was the transition? So I obviously recently transitioned outside the military. I only did my 5 years though. I didn't do as long as you did. So I think it was easier to transition when you do a shorter term. Maybe it's not, but
well, your term, not to cut you off, but your term was a little bit different than mine though. At least I had windows. You know what I mean?
That's true.
At least I had windows, and there was dry land under me most of the time.
You got to go outside.
I got to go outside, you know.
True. Submarining is definitely a different world. I still got a lot of good friends and a lot of good people still in, and some of them are planning to transition very soon. And I thought I had it all figured out before getting out. Like I had a whole year, I was planning everything, preparing. I thought I had everything set up, and then I got out. And it was like Mike Tyson's quote, you have a plan until you get punched in the face.
You get punched in the face.
Exactly what happened. And I thought I had it figured out, but you know, a lot of learning, a lot of uncomfort when I got transitioned. How was your transition? And you know, what advice could you give
our military friends on their transition, because I've seen transitions take a turn for the worse for people. And we see suicide rates for veterans are still much higher than they definitely need to be. Of course, every suicide is unnecessary.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that touch my heart. So what can you offer our veteran friends?
Well, the transition itself, it's a personal thing. Like, it's a really personal thing. It's when we're taken from, you know, what we know. We come in the military, you know, we come from a culture of structure. And as much as we bag on it while we're in it, as much as we talk trash about it while we're there, when we leave and don't have any, it's jarring. It's a wake up call. It is definitely a punch in the face. And when you lose your way, there's not this clear cut procedure or person or people you can reach out to, and they'll guide you along the way like they will in the military. My advice would be, like, for me, what I did a lot of was I kept in touch with a lot of military friends. I actively would seek out veteran groups and talk with them, because it's the civilian world doesn't speak the same language that we do. The civilian world doesn't have the same priorities, or especially depending on where you go, they may not have the same moral structure. And that can be, for me, it was very, it made my morals itch. A lot of transactions or a lot of interactions that I would have. So I had to find other people like-minded like me that I could have those conversations about, and then move into those transitions that way, to where you have someone that you can trust. If it's looking for a job, if it's looking at talking to recruiters, like different industry recruiters, seeking their veteran programs and going through their veteran services side of it is definitely a big help. And then, like I said, staying active is another one, and just being open to remember that you can't do it by yourself. It doesn't work that way. Like, I thought I had it figured out. I thought I was going to be good. I got out, and yeah, I was able to find a job relatively quickly, and I got licensed as a financial advisor, and I got with a good company. But at the same time, we still didn't speak the same language. I'm in there like, yo, how come no one's getting this stuff done, or they work at a different pace, just the shadiness that you sometimes see. And I'm like, this didn't make sense. The disrespect and stuff like that to leadership. I had to seek out the other veterans or reach back to my mentorship that I still had from the Marine Corps to kind of settle me in. And I was blessed to have that. And so now I definitely try to give that to all anybody else that I come in contact with. You had mentioned, like, you know, suicide and veteran suicide is something that's really, really, I'm passionate about. Something that's really important to me, because I feel like we can change so much more if we talk about our problems, and they don't get as overwhelming when we have those support systems in place. So it's dire that we do that, right?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Support systems are crucial. And then as that was something I struggled with too, thinking I needed to figure everything out by myself.
Right.
And not asking for help, but you know, it's okay to need help. Like, it's okay to need help. And getting out making a major transition, regardless if it's military or not, you need support. You need that inner, you know, that circle that will be there. You just need to ask for help, but that takes us being vulnerable enough to ask for help and not thinking we can just muscle through everything.
Yeah, so, that pride will get in the way, won't it?
Yeah, it will. What was one of the biggest challenges you faced personally when you got out? Because you say you had thought you figured it out, but what was that major obstacle that you could remember?
It's one of the major ones, is still the one I battle with all the time. It's the morality piece. Like, being in the military, we have certain codes of conduct. We learn a different moral system of morals. Well, I won't even say it's different. We just enforce the ones that are there. Like, we don't just talk it. We actually walk it. And coming into the civilian world, there's a lot of moral corruption, and it's okay. It just seems like it's okay. That's part of the business, and it's part of that you have to navigate. And for me, that's a big struggle. It was, like I said, had a great job, great company, but there is in all things, there were things that I didn't always agree with from a moral standpoint. And one of the big things was I had a conversation with, so I was in sales. I had a conversation and I'm like, I'm in financial sales. I'm working with them. I'm talking to people looking to sell them financial plans. My job was to sell financial plans to everyone. The way that it was sold to me though, or the idea was presented to me, was that, hey, I'm doing some financial plans for people that need it. Awesome. I'm all about helping people in need, right? During one of my training calls, my leadership was like, well, how come after the call was over, we're doing an after action? And he was like, well, how come you didn't sell this person a plan? And I'm like, I was just talking to a little old lady. It was a little old lady. I think she was like in her 70s or 80s. And the financial plan cost $50 a month. And I'm like, well, she didn't have a whole lot saved. She didn't qualify. In my mind, she didn't qualify for this plan. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, that's not, and he was like, what'd you say? And he was like, well, that's not for us to decide. I think were the words. That's not for us to decide. You let them decide and you present it to the client. And I'm like, but I was like, but they don't need it. That's not right. And then I was like, if she can't afford it, then where do I stand? And they're like, well, if they buy it, then that's on them. Yeah. And I'm like, that's not how this works.
Right.
Like, why would I put someone in peril that way? And that was when I realized that my morals didn't really match up with all of the sales opportunities out there. And that was when I decided maybe I need to do something else. I took that knowledge and moved something else. Mm. And that's my biggest hurdle now. It's like anytime something kind of rears up, like it doesn't make sense morally, it bugs me. So sales is hard when sales is hard when you got your morals involved. That's what I've learned. That's the challenge.
It's true, man. It's in business. There's a lot of people that want your money. So when it comes,
they're willing to do anything to get it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. For me, a lot of the challenges were around expectations of what it was supposed to be like, how it was supposed to be for me. You know, I start off with real estate, had my license, how it was supposed to look, everyone thinks they have these expectations set up. And then now I'm just like, expectations are really the biggest stressor for me. It's like, what expectations am I trying to live up to? And it wasn't my own. Right. That was the hard part. It's like we're supposed to have these transitions. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to, after the military, you're so desirable because you have military experience and your leadership. And then, like, as some companies are like, we don't even want people in the military because they have such a rigid way of thinking. And like, it really depends where you go, but what you want to do. Before you got out, did you have like a clear vision of what you wanted? Did you have that preparation before, or was it just something that you were kind of leaning with in what direction you were going? You just kind of felt like that was the route you wanted to take.
Honestly, I had no idea what I was going to do. No idea whatsoever. It was like, I got out of the military. I was married at the time. The wife was from Vegas. So that worked out. I came out to Vegas and started that. And, that fell apart pretty quick once I got here. There was no plan. It was just, my only plan was, all right, I'm gonna get to Vegas and go from there. I've known other people that have planned out a little bit more and had jobs waiting for them when they get out. very smart move. If that's something that you can do, then absolutely do it. But otherwise, yeah, I didn't have any plan. I just showed up and, you know how we do. We just, you show up and you just make mission. You figure it out. I'm here. What's next? So yeah. it made it stressful.
Yeah, for sure. And I was starting to see that too for some of my friends getting out and just like not knowing what they're going to do next, which kind of adds to the anxiety and overwhelm of just having a complete change in life. So I agree with you, man. If you have the opportunity to have something lined up so you can just make that transition, because you make a transition from making guaranteed money to making nothing.
Right.
Like what I chose to do, go from making great money to self-employment without anything in between. You know, that puts a lot of pressure.
Yeah, depending, and especially like, you know, some of us guys that are getting out that have families and you're the breadwinner, it can be a lot of pressure. Now, granted, when we talk about that, when I say, you know, have something, if you can have something lined up to do it, only if that line aligns with your intention though. Cause it's like, you know, some people, we get out of military and I could have gotten an electronics job in North Carolina and stayed there, but that didn't align with what I wanted for my life. That didn't align for what I wanted later on. And I was willing to go the harder route for that. Now, expectations are great. It gives us something to, you know, something to shoot at, a target to shoot at. But at the same time, it's always okay to change course. Course correction is acceptable at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think I noticed that when I was in the military, I didn't feel very aligned with what I was doing, right? Just that line of work, I felt like wasn't living up to my potential doing that. And then I got out, thought I had something else in mind. And then I felt the same way.
I know.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And we talked about that. Like, I know. And I get it. Cause I understand where you're coming from on that. You know, it's heck, again, I was in finance. It was a different thing. It's, you know, we're similar in that aspect to where we want the education. Our expectation is that we want to get out here and help people. Mm-hmm. And it's the way we've gone about it so far hasn't always been the one that aligns best with our intention. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing now is fantastic. What you're doing now definitely aligns better with what you want to create. And it's amazing to watch. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. And it was taking that risk for me because like, if you would have told me last year when I got out, that I was going to be doing podcasts by the end of the year, I would have been like, nah, man, I'll do that later on. I ain't ready for all that.
So I know our conversations about you starting a podcast were always like, one of these days.
Eventually.
Eventually. I'll do it. And I'm like, why not, man? You got it. And it's, but at the same time, I'm trying to build something and I did all the talk and I'm out here running around in circles myself. And here you are, making it happen and inspiring me to do more. So that's how this works. This is why we need to find that tribe, why we need to find those like minds so we can continue to push each other forward.
And that's what support is, man. You supported me to get going. I'm supporting you and it's never ending. You give and receive. And that's the beauty in life, man. You have those relationships, you have that support. And then when you work together with other great minds, like there's nothing that's impossible. And I think a lot of veterans just undervalue themselves when they get out. They don't realize how much they have to offer. And this is why it was important for me to have you on here and have these conversations, because like you're brilliant and you have so much knowledge and wisdom. You have spent that many years in the military. You've been through that transition. And then there's other people that let the difficulties and challenge overtake. And that's why we see that veteran suicide rate go up and up and up, because the challenges become bigger than their value in themselves.
Yeah.
Dude, it's hard to see, man. It's hard to see because Like if you didn't value yourself, I wouldn't have this conversation with you. I would never met you.
Right.
And then
right.
the impact well, you had and the impact you had on my life, like I probably wouldn't have a podcast going right now. Right. So that's the power of like connection and just believing in yourself. So was there a time where you were just like, you got out the military and you felt that roller coaster? Cause we know there's a roller coaster, but let's go down the deep part because what was going through your head when you went in that deep part where you didn't really value yourself, or if there was a deep part, I'm not going to assume, but I know it was for me, there was a roller coaster and now hit some lows. So
yeah, it's definitely a roller coaster ride. Like it's currently a roller coaster ride. And here we are, we're going into, you know, the holiday season and things can get overwhelming. Even when we feel like our life is at the best, you know, the holiday season can come sometimes and we always and I can question where I am or what I'm doing. Right now, again, I'm going through another transition and it's tough. And there are dark times and it's like currently right now, like I'm battling a dark time. Like currently right now, it's one of those things to where I have to remind myself of value, of contribution, of what I've accomplished. David Goggins talks about the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. I have to go in that cookie jar and pull out the accomplishments that I have made to remind me, look, hey, you did this. You came from Milwaukee. You came from growing up across the street from crack houses and drive-by shootings to now living in Vegas and you've seen the world and you've done all these things. It's those little reminders. So the dark times come and I talk about it a little bit sometimes where it's like the battle with, you know, with our brothers and sisters as veterans and with people in general, they happen in those quiet rooms in the dark. You're sitting there and you're just like questioning. The demons are talking and whispering in your ear and they're calling you to question your value and what you have to be grateful for and what kind of contribution you can have to the world. And during those times, it's tough. It's tough, but we have to, what works for me is going back through old messages. I have like this folder or spot of text messages from friends that are reminding me, hey, thanks for saying this, or hey, thanks for being here for me during this time. And I use that sometimes. I've dipped into those. It's not, sometimes it's just the getting a motivational quote off online somewhere, off the internet somewhere, and kind of putting that into my own words and putting it towards things that I've already done. But those other times, those personal messages that I get on Facebook and Instagram that say, hey, I appreciate you for this, or thanks for saying that because I need it, or making this video because that really helped me during my time. That's what helps me make it to the next sunrise. It's not always glamorous, right? But this is the fight, and it's a reminder that we're not in it alone, and we have that value, and we have to remember the impact we have had on the world, even when we think we don't. Even if you don't get these messages on Facebook or you don't do these things and these text messages come, someone's always watching us. Someone's always inspired by us. If we keep fighting, we inspire so many people we don't even know that are paying attention, be it on social media, be it in our personal lives, anywhere you go. People say, oh, I know you're in the military. And I'm like, oh, they're like, oh, were you in the military? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how can you tell? Oh, the way you walk. Oh, the way you stand. Oh, your presence. Oh, whatever the case may be. People see us. People see us and we inspire them more than we actually know we do. So we got to keep fighting.
That's huge, man. That's huge. You know, always being watched, whether you always know it or not, man. People are looking at you. They're looking up at you. They're learning from you. They're feeding off your energy. And that's one of the things that attracted me to you, man. Your energy, your openness.
Yeah, we had a good time, right? Dude, yeah. I walked over there. I walked over to the table. We just started talking.
Yeah, right? It was just like I knew you for like 10 years or something, but nope. I'm glad you allowed yourself to be open like that. And dude, the cookie jar, I couldn't even said it any better than that, man. We gotta keep reminding. And life is always a fight, man. And people think I have all my stuff figured out. Like, I still fight daily. Right. You saw me yesterday. Like, I was a mess. But, like, dude, right. Every day it's a constant battle. And people think it's supposed to be easy. I thought it was going to be easy. It wasn't. And, that's where that punch in the face came in.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's going through a struggle. You know, every veteran, every major transition someone has in life is not going to be sunshine and rainbows. So I appreciate you talking about that because it is tough and it's a constant battle. Les Brown says life is a fight for territory. You got to fight for what you want or else what you don't want will take over. And that doesn't end.
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. Like, yep. Even where I'm at now, like people might think I look major successful. I'm doing podcasts. I'm like, I wear a suit. It's just, right.
Right.
I've got the trimmed beard.
Trim it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But then it's still a daily constant battle. I got to remind myself that, you know, my voice matters enough to make a recording, to have you on a call. Right. To reach out to continue this, because like you said, I have a similar thing. I have screenshots and area where I keep messages of people who had some type of impact of something I did or said. That's like my cookie jar.
Yeah.
Right? Like it reminds me like doing this actually is helping somebody. And then having you on here, if we could potentially save one veteran from those thoughts, this was one of the most successful podcasts ever.
Exactly. Right?
I don't care if it has a million downloads. Like if I saved a life or just helped someone get through that down cycle of their roller coaster, like they'll be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That was that was a major thing for me, is learning how to just sit with it and be okay in the struggle. And dude, it's been a hell of a ride, but man, I'm glad to have support of you and like a bunch of other people. And I'm always looking for ways to grow and support. And if you can remember, what was one of the best pieces of advice you got when you were about to get out or during your transition or even like current days on getting you through the Navy, we call it going through the shitter.
Right.
Going through the shitter.
And it goes back to just like what I had mentioned, like there's always someone watching you. Like there's always someone looking up to you. I had a leader a long time ago. I was a young sergeant and he pulled me to the side and he used to tell me, you know, because even while I was in, you know, things would go sideways. I was, you know, that self-sabotage sneaks up on us all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something I've battled with for a long time. And I've been winning that battle, so it's great. But, you know, I had one of my leaders told me, he was like, sometimes you need to do things not for yourself. Sometimes you need to do it for the other person, for the other guy, for the people that are watching you, for the young Marines that are looking to you as the example of who they should be and what's okay. And that was some of the best advice for me, because it makes it bigger. It makes it bigger than myself. And just like that's, you know, we're willing to do more. The average person is willing to do more for someone else than they are for themselves. You know I am. I'll give my last dollar. I'll jump into a burning car to pull somebody out, you know, if need to. I'm not the best swimmer, but I'll probably jump into a river and try to figure it out for some soul that needs to be saved. But for myself, you know, it's like, it's just me. I'll be fine. You know, finding that it's easy to give up on myself. I can give up on myself before I can give up on you, before I can give up on my son, before I can give up on my family. So taking that advice of like, there's always somebody watching, there's always someone that you're inspiring and being an example for, pushes me. That's the best advice I've ever gotten. That's what says, all right, you can't quit today. You can't quit today.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was an example for me. I, laying in bed all day yesterday. No reason. I'm like, I couldn't find a good enough reason to get up. And I was just laying around and being lazy. And but I had promised I was going to a gathering. It was a birthday party that I was invited to. And this person said it would mean a lot if I went. So it's like, look, Corey, we got to get up. You can't stay here. You got to go. You were invited. It's not about you. It's not about you. Get out of your shit, put on some clothes, and go have a good time. And I did. I went and had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got up out of my shit, you can't just sit in it. That's always the best advice. Someone else is expecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the military, we talk about it. You know, if you don't do your job, people die, right? That doesn't stop. If we don't do our job, if we don't show up, someone's going to miss out on something that they may have needed for life or death. I firmly believe that.
I love that. I love that. Was that one difficult challenge for you? Because I imagine Marines, especially ones who've been overseas and doing all those things, have a really strong sense of camaraderie. And I know in the submarine force, we have a stronger sense of camaraderie than a lot of the other platforms in the Navy because we're small crews that do a lot of work. How was dealing with that camaraderie? Because I know you mentioned you were keeping in touch. Was that something that helped you a lot? Or what other things did you do to keep that sense of camaraderie even outside the military?
Yeah, it helps a lot keeping that going. Like Facebook has been real big. It's been real good for me as far as finding like those veteran groups. You know, I'm in like a Marine Corps veteran one. I'm in like a U.S. An Air Wing veteran one. I'm in this group of just like gunnery sergeants, like E8 and below, or E7s and below, like group. Mm-hmm. And to where people either were just talking trash, or we're talking about memories, or we're having like just the armed forces groups that I'm in, and you know, the camaraderie between the different branches. It's huge. And we have a lot of public conversations in the posts and different things, and I find information there. Sometimes that's really helpful for me. And then also have, you know, I meet people in these groups, and then we'll have these side conversations or people I've met up with in my city here in Vegas. It's huge. It's huge to have it. It's when you spend like, you know, even you spend 5 years, that's 5 years of your life every single day around a certain kind of people. And then to just up and walk away from that is traumatizing. It's just like going into the military is traumatizing, right? It's like that was a struggle, but at least the system was in place to get us through that struggle. When we get out of the military, it's harder to find that system to make it happen. And we have to kind of rely on ourselves to remember to reach out, you know, to remember to find those like-minded people.
That's great, man. Stay connected.
Yeah.
Do you have some groups
that you follow, or?
I got a few groups that I'm in. I follow there's a submarine veteran group, and there's some Las Vegas veterans. There's a few groups that, there's veterpreneurs too, veterans that have entrepreneurial businesses and whatnot. And just keeping in touch, man. It's cool to keep that going because, like you said, you never know where you can show up and offer something that can be life-changing for somebody, your presence. Like if you didn't go to that birthday party, what would they have missed out on, right? Like you. So we have a lot to offer, and just keeping that connection going, man. Cause like you said, I have a crew of over 140 people. And then one day I got a crew of one, like, right. The next
right,
day.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that way. I could choose to connect with them, right. Facebook, phone numbers, everything is still possible. So definitely great advice, man. Appreciate that. Stay connected, stay in touch with people. We are tribal species, so we
absolutely
need that. We need that in or out the big military. We're still humans at the end of the day. We still need connection.
So, we need it.
What do you have, any like resources or specific things besides like veteran groups and whatnot, like any specific groups or not groups, like podcasts, books, sources of motivation or inspiration to help you get through some of your tough times?
Specifically, no, not really. I have, I've created a lot of custom stuff though. Like, so there's tons of podcasts out there. There's tons of, different ways. And there's pretty much anything you can think of. There's a podcast out there for it at this point. And that can be overwhelming sometimes because there's so many choices. So we get that analysis paralysis kicks in. But at the same time, I'm on YouTube a lot to where I find, YouTube either, compilation videos of like motivational speeches, or I follow like certain ones. Like, you know, you mentioned Les Brown. I listen to Les Brown a lot. He'll move you. If you need to get moved, Les will move you. Les will move you. If you're in a bad mood, Les will bring that bad mood. He'll raise it. Cause he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he's talented. His newer stuff, he's still active. And then his older speeches will definitely get you out of bed. They'll definitely get you moving. They'll definitely have you moving forward. So I have a playlist on YouTube right now that I kind of go to for motivation when I really, really need it. Another little cookie jar. It's full of like David Goggins stuff, Gary Vee stuff. It's like, there's some Jocko in there. There's definitely some Les. It's a motley crew of stuff. And sometimes I run across something that may inspire me on accident, and I'll save it to that playlist. Mm-hmm. Or a conversation I may be having with someone, and they mention somebody. I'm quick with my Apple Notes. I pull it up, boop boop, Siri, make this note, and I'll find this person later. I look it up right away, and then save it because I know how valuable those resources can be. I know there's going to be a time to when I need to be reminded of certain things.
Almost daily for me. Every morning. And that's every good, man. Some days I don't feel like doing anything, but you can get on YouTube and hit the play button.
Yeah.
That's one thing you could do to get you out of that mood. So if you can't take on the day, maybe just take on that one task. Listen to something positive today to get me going.
Don't get me going, at least it'll keep me from falling. Look, if it don't get me going, at least it'll be something.
Life's a fight of territory.
Yep, exactly.
Dude, I appreciate that, man. I feel like this is going to be very powerful and helpful for people to realize that everyone struggles, especially transitioning out of the military. Like, if you're a military or a veteran, like, you know. If you don't know yet, you're going to.
You're going to know.
Whether you retire, you get out after one or two tours, like, you're going to know.
Yep.
And I hope this finds the right people in those times to just know we all struggle. Feed your mind daily, because that just going to keep you afloat if it needs to, or keep you going forward, man. And I appreciate you, man. There's so many things I'd love to talk to you about. And to keep this at a digestible timeline, I can't pull the Joe Rogan 3-4 hour podcast yet.
We're not there yet.
Take it steps.
Right. But
definitely appreciate all the wisdom and advice, because like you said, man, that this 30, 40 minutes, wherever we spent, could be that much needed motivation for someone to keep moving. Stop that person from those dark thoughts. And at this point, this is one of the reasons why I created this podcast, is to help people with the self-awareness to get through it, right? Because if you're not even self-aware that you're depressed, you can't hit the play button and get that motivation, or you can't ask somebody to listen to you, or whatever the case is. So appreciate you.
Yeah, one of the sayings, I can't remember where I heard it, but I use it a lot, like, because it really hit me, was that, you know, sometimes we can't see the picture because we're inside the frame. So if we're in it, and we have to have that awareness, just that it's a big part of your teachings, and it's a big part of what's gotten me through a lot of things, is that awareness. Be like, okay, wait a minute, what's happened? So where you're in it and you don't realize, and all of a sudden you get that glimmer of awareness. Like, hold on, all right, where am I sitting? Oh, I'm sitting in shit. I need to get up. I need to figure this out. What'd be the next steps? And that's where that comes from. So we have to, the teachings and the awareness, that self-awareness that you're teaching is vital. And that's what's going to save a lot of people.
Definitely, man. I appreciate you so much. I'm so glad I get to have you and have these conversations all the time. I mean, we had like a bunch of these conversations. I was like, damn, man.
So many.
We need to start recording some of these.
right. So many.
I'm glad we finally got this one in. And I'm looking forward for the next ones because, you know, there's so much you have to offer. There's so much experience, so much. We even touched on finances that much. But I know
we didn't talk about finance. I know you had some video or a podcast about, you know, finance and fitness and things of that nature, because it all plays together. It's all part of how we're making it. And now I'm excited. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
We do, man. I look forward to the next one. I appreciate you and appreciate your time. And
I appreciate you, brother.
I look forward to doing this soon again.
That is all for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you found any value in this episode, someone you know will also. Please share, subscribe, leave a rating and review so we can reach more people, have a farther ripple, and a larger impact. Stay grateful. I appreciate you. And remember, you are a conqueror.